Thank you. Thank you, Kathy and Nancy. It's a great pleasure to be at Spirit 1848. I'm very hopeful after listening to the previous speaker, because having been part of the commission and the Marmot Review and the government of Chile gives a very positive spin to what has been done in recent years. I'm going to have a presentation that's a little bit political in content and spirit, and reflects some of my work in Venezuela in the last 10 years. I will begin by talking about the Bolivarian process, which provides some aggregate data that's interesting to look at, I believe. Then present a little bit of data on access and utilization from the Barrio Dentro primary care program, and focus on the limitations of the data in this program that has captured a lot of attention internationally, because it involves participatory democracy. It's ruled by, controlled by members of communal councils that oversee the primary care centers of each neighborhood, about 1,200 people. I'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. Then I'll give my explanation of the Bolivarian politics that hinder the development of data systems, and the complicated picture that emerges from this analysis. If you want, that's a little bit of a participant observation. And then I will present an attempt to overcome limitations of data using a participatory mixed methods approach called concept mapping to obtain information on the potential barriers of Barrio Dentro with regard to the participation of communities in the program, which is something that's lacking. It's a piece of process evaluation. Well, this is an evolution of some of the indicators of inequity and poverty over the last years. There were criticisms that inequality and income hadn't been reduced in the first 10 years of the Bolivarian government. It seems that of late there has been a reduction, maybe fueled by an increase in the minimum wage, and the well-known figure here in red of the reduction in poverty. We'll see that later, 20 points in the last 5 years, for example. And infant mortality, well, it's just going down, but it's the same that one would expect in regional comparisons, so it really cannot be attributed to that process. Actually, there are some health indicators that haven't improved. The Human Development Index, that combines health with education and other social goods, has increased. That's acknowledged even by the World Bank. And also, there's been an increase that has been substantial, not since before the new constitution, where it had been declining. So we can see that that can be more or less attributable to the new government. The proportion of social expenditures the proportion of the GDP that is considered by many an indicator of development of the welfare state. It doesn't have the analytical depth of knowing how each policy is developed, but it's a summary measure. And it has increased during the Bolivarian process, in spite of the period where there was a lockout and impoverishing of the country in around 2002. This is maybe the best known indicator of the Bolivarian process, which is the reduction in absolute and poverty rates over the period of the new government and the constitution. There was an increase again during the early 2000s due to this lockout, where there was a huge strike by employers and the major company, which is the PDVSA, the petroleum company. After that, there's been a reduction as well, which continues to date, with extreme poverty in the single digits. There is also an increase in the access to drinking water, one of the political goals of the government, between the 19th and 2005 here, and also in the number of people who have access to sewage collection. And again, there was a trend, but with the new government, it's steeper. These are the good things, so to say. There are many bads that are constantly, many. There are a few bads that are constantly drummed up by the media, such as the crime rates in Caracas, etc. Well, we're going to shift to Barrio Adentro. Barrio Adentro is a primary care program that started in 2003. It incorporated a lot of MDs from Cuba that were using the positions that were not occupied by the MDs from Venezuela, who didn't want to practice in poor neighborhoods, right? And then it expanded to the whole country, giving access to about 60% of the population who didn't have access to primary care. And that was achieved in 3 years, which is very fast, actually. It, according to the Pan American Health Organization, it improved the equity of access and utilization of health services. And it has this original kind of participatory democracy system by means of communities and communal councils at the local level, again about 1,200 persons, or a few hundred families, oversee and run the primary care centers and interact constantly with the MDs, the Cubans, the nurses, the dentists that practice there. They are elected by the community and it's about 10 persons each. And this is included in the constitution. It's something that by law, these communal councils need to be created. And there is a recent law last year too that updates the constitution. This is just one of the program, which is intersectoral in the sense that it is connected and interacts with other social programs called misiones that deal with other deficiencies of the country, what they call the social debt, something that's due to the community that was not given to them, actually, that's considered to be taken away from them by years of inequity and class domination from the wealthy appropriators of the fruits of the oil, for example. So it has that political background to all these social programs. Here I have the list in Spanish and then translation in English. You can see that it's pretty comprehensive. The word mission has a military connotation, not religious, actually. It deals with, for example, racism and the situation of the indigenous peoples, etc. I will not deal with the connections between them. That's the number of people that benefited from Barrio Adentro as of 2 years ago. It's only surpassed by a program that provides free food to poor people of Venezuela. And that's the percent of the population covered. The data typically that's obtained from Barrio Adentro is in raw numbers. There are not a lot of rates. For example, from 5 million visits, we went through 300 million. Or there are 6,000 new primary care centers. And we have 30,000 Cuban MDs. That's the way it's portrayed and disseminated in the public. And obeys to a style that I will come that has been criticized from abroad and sometimes inside the country. Nonetheless, the amount of the national budget that's devoted to the Ministry of Health is the highest, keeps increasing, and surveys show reasonable levels of satisfaction, even among the middle classes who are not poor, they start using these centers. The Barrio Adentro community primary care centers. Another example of this type of data, which I would consider insufficient, is a statement such as 500,000 lives have been saved. That's a criteria that's used by the Cuban mission to measure their impact on the population, and it indicates not only access to an MD, but what would have happened is that Cuban MD would not have been there in terms of particular mortality cause. So what are the data limitations here? For a program of this magnitude that covers 80% of the population, is the primary source of care for 60% of them, is lack of outcome evaluations, process, lack of monitoring, and other data gaps that one can bring into it. What are the suspected barriers? Here there are many. If you read The Lancet, it's common that they criticize the Cuban missions and the Venezuela program. I have even a journalist that seems to be specializing in that. But there are other sources as well that would lead to this type of speculation that maybe or may not be true. For example, lack of coordination within the ministry in terms of sharing data. There is obstructionism within the ministry by people who were there before the change of government, so their agenda is actually to boycott what's going on. There is a certain militarization of the healthcare because of the origin of its creation and its relationship with the presidency. There are a lot of competing ideologies, even under a single umbrella of Bolivarian, which I'll talk about it previously, that not all of them are for universal access to healthcare. So different understandings of what is the policy goal and the ethical foundations of the program. Then there is a competing views between people who may be for that program, but some of them have public health training while others have background, say, of hospital administration. That leads a technical difference in a way of, for example, what is the importance attributed to immunizations, just to give an example. And then clearly there is a nationalist bourgeoisie who has a very strong vested interest in keeping private for-profit institutions and promoting them through financing from the government. Then with regard to the Cuban mission, there is the particularity that the data that they provide goes directly to the presidency rather than to the ministry. Then their way of counting is very, I would say, detailed, but doesn't include very often rates, for example, or proportions. Then there is an adherence that has been noted to the risk factor model, which may or not be true. I'm just listing the things that have been said, right? And then that there is a parallel system between the Cuban mission and the government-owned health system. And then that, these guest doctors have been there for 10 years. When is the moment to get them substituted for by the current MDs, which is something that I believe is going to happen because there is an interest in changing the class origin of MDs in Venezuela by getting them trained, especially in Cuba and in Venezuela, so they can practice in the communities they come from, rather than rejecting that aspect and wanting to practice private medicine in wealthy, upper-middle-class urban centers. But that has been also noted. And then there is also the fear that the Cubans are taking over, right? So my answer to this point is that this, after all, is a country that's trying to make a major structural change. So issues are constantly contested, debated, and fought. And that in the policy goals of a government, healthcare is not necessarily the only or primary goal. It could be that an alliance with another country comes before healthcare, even if from our perspective of public health practitioners, that's not what comes to mind first. And this complexity of the different struggles within a political process that tends to be a radical change determines issues such as the availability of data. It's a political process. It's not a technical process such as you can see, for example, in the commission report of WHO, where I participated extensively. But it's something that's fought with as an ideological and technical battle. So, for example, the Bolivarians can be split in many different bands that have competed in interest, and all of them want to control the health policy of the country, or may not care about health. And the middle classes, if one wants to win votes in in democratic countries this day and age, you need the support of middle classes. This is not any Sweden in the mid of the 20th century where you have farmers joining unions. You need their votes. And middle classes tend to be more prone to wanting subsidies to the private sector. So you need to deal with them, otherwise you will not get anything at all politically. So these are some of the explanations that I can give you for that. So here in order to fill the gap on lack of data in process evaluation of BioDentro, we use concept mapping. I'll just give you some preliminary data here, which is totally controlled or performed by the participants themselves, generating questions, items, rating, ordering them. And has the drawbacks of the qualitative methodology, which is typically a small sample, non-random selection, and very labor-intensive, but has the advantage of providing a view of the participants themselves on their own terms and collectively of a problem, and they generate their own causal model or causal frameworks. So I'll go fast through it. They were selected from the different states to ensure variability in economic origin of the BioDentro participants, and they were members of Comités de Salud. And they were overall satisfied with the program, but a little bit critical at the same time, because they wanted more popular participation. So they generated that question. This is an example of what comes from the concept mapping. The numbers refer to the statements, problematic statements, by the participants themselves, and their proximity in this space, what refers to the degree of that the participants consider them similar, or that they group them together. Then that's a cluster analysis result that deals with these groups of statements or constructs. And you end up with knowing what are the major concerns, in this case, with the problems of participation in the primary care program, of a group of participants. Here you can see also that you can rate through the method the importance of the different topics. So here we can see that what was considered most important for the participants in the BioDentro program that we participating in our concept mapping exercise, the problems with healthcare services and the integration between different communities were the most important problems, and the political divisions within BioDentro, which is what the media constantly emphasizes, were considered less important. And the same, they didn't see a lot of problem between the MDs coming from Venezuela and Cuba, which is another topic that has been raised often by the media as something of a big barrier for BioDentro. Here is the same results with what deserves attention. There was a little bit of notion that there are two parallel systems, but not to the degree that one could imagine from the media. So this process evaluation would lead to a clarifying of what are the important issues that the participants, the members of the community affected themselves consider to be the most important to be addressed as part of an ongoing primary care program, and it's a part of a process evaluation. So the end, I would like to conclude saying that in conditions such as rapid social change due to desire of a major structural change and other very intense political contentious situations, what lack of data is even more of a political concern, politically determined than in other more stable situations, and that our role would be to join the needs of different population to provide them with information that they need, and be creative in the process. Thank you.